Okay, it is 25 past two on Saturday the 20th of 10th, 2018. Speaking to Paul Downes for the Pirate.ie archive. Paul, welcome along. And first up, I'm just going to ask you to give me some kind of basic detail about yourself, where you started out, where you grew up, first station, age when you first got involved in a pirate station, and were you a big anorak before you got involved in that?
Well, I'm a Dublin City born and bred man. In fact, I regard myself as a true Dub because I was born and raised between the canals. I've lived around the South Circular Road area all of my life, still live in that area. I was very much interested in radio from probably quite a young age. I would have listened to Luxembourg and all of those stations that you could just barely drag in on my dad's old stereo upstairs. And I always just had that love of talking, I suppose, as I think most people in this industry tend to do, probably like the sound of my own voice. So the opportunity arose. I was doing a little bit of DJing work for mobile disco type stuff, and we ended up down in Radio City for, I think it was something to do with charity, and I talked to some of the guys down there, and there was a spot open at the weekends for the Saturday and Sunday morning breakfast show. So for about, it must have been about 3 months, I did that show. It came to a rather untimely end because my mother thought I was off studying for my leaving cert with my friend, because I was about 16 years of age at the time. And we had this weekend thing where I went to my friend's house to study from early in the morning. She discovered that actually I was on a radio station, and there was a little bit of consternation, I think might be the word, at home. And at that stage, I had to pack up my bags and get my head down for my leaving cert. And then I went back to radio probably while I was in college.
So in the first station you're involved in, City, where was it and what years would you have been on air?
I would have been on air from probably January, February 1980 up to about April 1980. Was just, I think that was around the Easter time, and that was when my mother discovered that I was not telling the full story of what was going on. And we were based down in Capel Street. Guy who owned the station, Morris, I can't think of his second name, but it was a very unusual building. It was one of those typical over the shop buildings, and they were on the top floor. Studio was in one room, and the transmitter was in another room. The studio was basically built in at the window, and then outside of the studio there was an interview area. Not that it was ever used that much, because I don't think they ever got round to micing it up. We had two, if I'm remembering it correctly, Akai decks, a H&H 8-channel H&H mixer, and two tape decks, I can't remember what they were, and a couple of microphones. And that was about the level of the technology. The transmitter was an interesting thing. It was built, if memory is serving me correct, by Paul Cotter. Paul had built a lot of the transmitters around at the time. And it was basically a number of electrical components spread across the floor in the adjoining room to the studio. And the warning was, if you had to go into that room, you had to step very carefully over the various bits, because if you hit the wrong wire, you were quite likely to electrocute yourself.
Do you remember what the station was? I mean, some of the stations at the time were quite, commercial, hard-nosed. Some were more music-orientated. Some were quite sort of hobby or community stations. How would you describe City?
City was aiming to be a commercial station, very much on that basis. They were working sort of, I can't remember if it was 24 hours a day, but they were certainly running a full programme, certainly up to sort of midnight. They worked the 7 day week, so there was sort of a group that ran the weekday, and then there was a weekend grouping, as would be the case in a lot of stations nowadays. They were very, very focused on advertising. The guy who owned it was a businessman and was commercially based. He used it to advertise his businesses. He was big into Kempo Karate and a couple of other things. So a lot of his ads went through, and then there were a number of other commercial ads. So the whole focus of the station was very commercial, but it was very, if you compare it to what was to come later in terms of pirate radio, it was probably quite amateur.
Do you remember how many people would have been involved?
That's a very difficult question. I would imagine there were probably 18 to 20 people involved, and various people came through at different times. I can remember John Kenny worked there, and John went on to become a sports commentator in RTE. Colm Hayes was there for a while. He's now obviously with Nova. And there were a number of other people there who did seem to do reasonably well for a period of time out of it.
In terms of the music policy, what was the station like?
Commercial, but really they didn't care. As long as you were came in, played the music and kept it fairly lively, that's really all they wanted. I happened to be a Horselips fan, so I was... And I was very lucky because I was on Horselips Records mailing list, so I got stuff from them. And I tended to plug quite a bit of Horselips, which was probably a little uncool at the time because it was toward the end of their career. They split up at the end of 1980, and they were probably not quite as popular as they once would have been. And the station was a little bit more commercial than that, probably more than rock. But there was no problem. They just sort of accepted that that was some of the music that I played.
Big question, were you paid?
Oh, of course not. I do remember they did give us the opportunity to go out and sell some advertising for our programmes, and I sold some to a local businessman. I'm not sure that he was very happy with the return that he got from his investment, but I suppose I got a little bit of money out of it, so I was happy. I was, as I say, 16 at the time, and it was all good.
Did the station run a news service?
No, not that I can remember. It may have done during the daytime, but certainly while I was there at the weekends, there was no news that I can remember. But we are now going back nearly 40 years, so my memory could be a little bit lost on that one.
One of the things that everybody loves when they get together to discuss these early days is polishing up a good old story. Do you have a good old story to polish up for me?
Not really. We it was an interesting time. We had a lot of fun, but no, there was nothing that really stood out other than, I say, walking across the transmitter room, which was in its own right a frightening, if somewhat interesting, experience. But there were characters at that time, and it was a very different era. People, I think, sometimes look at things like that without realising that Ireland was a very, very different country. So a lot of the characters and a lot of the people that were around at the time would stand out in my mind for just their, what would be, I suppose, to them normal behaviour now would just seem completely bizarre. But there was no specific one thing that I remember from that time that I would say, yep, that was a brilliant story.
Were you ever there when there was a visit from the department?
I was very lucky. I never managed to have myself around when there was a problem in any of the stations that I worked with, though it did happen on quite a regular basis. And I'd heard varying stories from people about how well they were treated or how badly they were treated. So it really, I think, depended on the officials that arrived on the day. I was later to, well, I worked as a DJ on the strip on Leeson Street, had the pleasure of the company of the guards to come in to have us shut things down. But that was all very civilised at that stage. It was just, right, lads, let's turn it off now. It's time for everybody to go home. But I do believe some of the raids in the early days were a little contentious.
Were you on air in 88, 30th, 31st of December, when the big close down happened?
No, I was well out of the radio business by that stage. I probably only stayed in the radio business into 81, 82, that sort of period. And by then, I was very focused on my work as a nightclub DJ and a commercial DJ. The money was there. I was going to business college. I was doing a business course, so my focus was becoming rather commercial at that stage, and I didn't see a future for me on the radio side, because again, you weren't paid. It was very, very hard to even for the couple of stations that paid in those days, it was very hard to get onto those. So it was an easier run for me to go towards the mobile disco and nightclub side of the business, which is where I went. And also it was because I was in college and because I was doing that sort of stuff, I just didn't have the time that I would have needed to invest in being a radio DJ to take it any further than I had taken it.
That's lovely. Listen, Paul Downs, thank you very much. We're just at 25 to 3 on this 20th of October 2018. Thanks very much.
Thank you.